The following program is suitable for all ages.
The phone. A certain magic will always linger with the very name. It speaks of courage and fervor in the world's most brutal game. 55, worn by Doug Buffon, a Chicago Bear through and through. He demanded excellence of himself and anyone wearing navy blue.
You tell me what's going on. This is moronic. We're going to get our ass whipped all the way down the line. I want somebody to get kicked in the ass and get out there and play. You're getting paid to play this game. And play it right. I don't mind you getting beat. I got my ass whipped many times. But I tell you, I took somebody down with me. You are a professional team. Act like one, for God's sakes.
Football fans, this is Buffon 55. The John Buffon Show.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Buffon 55, the fastest paced Chicago Bears football podcast available. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, John Buffon, still digesting that Sunday night loss. Should be 1-0, 0-1. Still trying to find the pieces of my heart on the floor. So I'm going to have to try to duct tape those together. But we must carry on. We must move forward. Enough about my heartache. Let's talk about the series at hand, the games at hand. Bears girl, my heartache, your heartache. Come on to the show. Tell me how you're feeling.
Honestly, John, I'm cozy in this Buffon 55 hoodie, and I'm over the Packers loss. I'm going to be at the game, that rematch in December in frosty Chicago at Soldier Field, and I know we're going to come out on top. Right now, I want to talk Monday Night Football against Seattle and hear from your special guest.
Oh man, way to get that plug in for the clothing line, by the way. Man, that was seamless. You're getting so good at this. But let's move on. Joining us tonight is my guest, Dana O'Gorman. She's a senior sports director for OurTurfFB.com. She's the host of the Our Turf podcast and lover of the Seattle Seahawks. Dana, thanks for being on with us. How you doing?
I am doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, this is going to be a good matchup. Both these teams have have some questions around them. And the theme, obviously, with our interview is the Bears fans want to get to know their opponent a little bit. So let's just jump right into it. The Seattle, also coming off a close loss last week. What was your biggest takeaway? There was a lot to digest in that game. What was your biggest takeaway from that 27-24 loss to the Denver Broncos last week?
You know, that game was very complicated, for lack of a better word. You watched it and you saw these sparks of good and improvement in the O-line, which is all any of us ever wanted, and then you would see complete disaster, and then you see three interceptions from our secondary, who supposedly doesn't exist anymore now that Richard Sherman and Cam Chancellor aren't there any longer, but then they got these great interceptions, and so you would have these sparks. The overall feeling at the end of that game was there are just as many questions as there were at the beginning of the game. So it was a little confusing for Seahawks fans.
I can imagine. I watched the majority of that game and I'm like, at points you're like, wow, this team's clicking. And then other points you're like, wow, this team's is pretty far away. Now, Russell Wilson, that's a guy that you normally don't have to worry about. Sacked six times, threw an interception that led to a Denver field goal, ran just twice for 5 yards and fumbled the snap on the last possession. What are you seeing from Russell Wilson? You talked about the offensive line earlier. Was this more Russell Wilson or was this more offensive line? What's going on with the quarterback in Seattle?
You know, interestingly enough, Russell Wilson always starts slow. If you look back historically over Seattle's, the beginning first four games of Seattle's seasons, basically since he's been there in 2012, they always start slow. They start rough. Only the two Super Bowl years did you really see a good, surge out of them at the beginning. And so no one is really surprised that it took them, that it might take them a minute to get there. Russell Wilson did take responsibility for a couple of those sacks. He held on to the ball for too long. He's still playing backyard football, which is what we love about him. But at the same time, he is getting better pass protection, and I think he's actually going to have to relearn to trust that offensive line. Now, they're still a little offensive because they still had their problems for sure, but at the same time, he was getting more time, and it almost seemed to throw him off since he wasn't running for his life. It was bizarre. I think he'll get better. I think that they'll find their footing again.
You talked about backyard football. He might have to do a little bit more of that because he's losing one of his biggest weapons. Since 2015, Doug Baldwin ranks 9th in receptions, 12th in receiving yards, and 2nd in touchdown catches. But it looks like he has a grade 2 partial MCL tear. That's a big loss for the Seattle offense. We don't know how long he's going to be out, but he's definitely not going to play against the Bears. What does this wide receiving core look like without Baldwin, and what are your perspectives, or what do you think that they can get out of these guys?
You know, the loss of Doug Baldwin is huge, and people who pay attention to football, or at least Seattle football, know what a huge loss that is, because he's not really a household name. But if you watch the game closely, obviously he has a huge impact. Thank God for Brandon Marshall. And I never in my entire Seattle Seahawk life thought I would say thank God for Brandon Marshall. But I'm so glad that they picked him up, because I do think that he will be that playmaker. Is he going to be the Brandon Marshall of old? No, he's not. That is going to be, he'll be used mostly for those big plays and the end zone. However, this is Tyler Lockett's time to shine. Tyler Lockett has been known as a punt returner, you know, and a solid wide receiver, but we see flashes of brilliance. He had broke his leg a couple of years ago, really took him a whole season to get back his footing last year. This year, we're expecting a lot more from him. Doug Baldwin will be back. You're right. It could be 2 games. It could be 4. We don't know. But he will be back eventually. But until then, it is going to be really up to Tyler Lockett to step up and become that guy.
Well, another person that might have to step up, and this could be good news for Seahawks fans, is that, you know, Pete Carroll may have found a tight end in Will Disley. He led the Seahawks with 105 receiving yards in his debut, his 81 yards on 2 catches in the first half, for more than Jimmy Graham had in any one game of last season. One game does not a season make, but is this kid for real? Is there potential there? How excited are people in Seattle about this kid?
To be honest with you, he shocked the hell out of all of us. We thought he was just going to be this extra kid over there, but he did wonderfully. And I will say this, Jimmy Graham, Jimmy Graham was fantastic in New Orleans, and he came to Seattle and he tried. He just never really fit. But then we see him in the Green Bay game. Sorry to bring it up. We see him in the Green Bay game, and he didn't make an impact there either. Where Will Disley is truly a blocking tight end who actually can catch the ball and go with it too. And it's going to be so nice. It's the first time in a long time we've had the combo of both. I think this kid's for real. I think he's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
And, you know, you're going to have to look for another surprise whenever we're switching over to the backfield in Seattle now. A total of 59 rushing yards for 2 Seahawks running backs on Sunday. I know you're longing for the days of Sean Alexander in beast mode. What are the prognosis for Chris Carson and first-round pick Rashad Penny? I know they were high on Penny going into training camp, or at least in July. Are there better days ahead for the running back core in Seattle?
I think so. Chris, you know, last year was a disaster. Every single running back we had ended up with, you know, games-long injury. They were never there. They were truly non-existent, and we went through 5 and 6 of them. So we wrote off the running game last year because there was no choice but to just write it off. Chris Carson has everything that Pete Carroll, Seahawks fans, football want from a running back. He runs hard. He runs fast. He is great athletic. We saw the great jump. He hurdled a player and it looked fantastic doing it. Penny, on the other hand, I think they expect a lot from him, but he's that rookie that's taken a minute to adjust to the NFL game. I think that he is going to be very good. There's a lot of high praise for him coming from his teammates and from the coaches, but I just think he's that rookie that's taken a minute. It's going to take him maybe till midseason to really have a good grasp on the NFL game. The one running back no one ever talks about that is I'm really excited about was Mike Davis, and he was not active this last time. I think they wanted to bulk up on the O-lineman on the active day, but he runs a lot like Marshawn Lynch, and where he might not have quite the talent that Carson or Penny has, he is reliable. And I think, hopefully, if they can all stay healthy, between the three of them, we might eventually have a run game this year.
Well, for Seahawks fans, I'm sure that's great to hear. Now, you're talking about Penny coming along. Is there any chance throughout this season that Penny actually overtakes Carson for the starting gig? Or is this just Carson's job and Penny's just going to be a guy that kind of contributes throughout the season?
Well, you know, one thing we need from Carson is to stay healthy. We haven't seen that from him yet. And so if he can stay healthy, it's his job. It really is. I think, though, if, you know, you see, you know, him losing a step, or you see Penny take that next step and really grasp the game, then he could take that job from Chris Carson. But right now, it is definitely Chris Carson's job.
Now let's switch gears to something that Bears fans love to talk about, the opposing team's offensive line. Now, a lot of people think this is the Achilles heel of the Seattle Seahawks, but they did play a little bit better last week than expected, although the six sacks, but some of those can go on Russell Wilson. Mm-hmm. What's the status of the offensive line, and how do you see them matching up against the front of the Chicago Bears? Well, that's a good answer. Okay.
Well, let's just say they are getting better. We've seen some improvement throughout the preseason and even in the game last week. We in Seattle, most Seattle fans, are looking for mediocre. We are looking to not be the worst O-line in the league. We would love middle of the road. Middle of the road would be a huge improvement for us. Although I think that fabulous new addition that you guys managed to pick up is going to have a field day with Jermaine Ifedi. Jermaine Ifedi is who was across from Von Miller. That's all you really need to know about the Seattle O-line. And so he definitely struggled. So I think one thing that Seattle could do with that line is they'll probably end up doubling up on that side. I think we'll see a lot of Will Dissly blocking. This right there next to Ifedi. But the other end, we do better. We have a great center in Justin Britt. Of course, we got Dwayne Brown last year from Houston. He is now through for about half a season, and now he's in his first full season with Seattle. He's a fantastic leader. So there is definitely some growth. I think bringing in Mike Scolari as the offensive line coach was a huge improvement. We were real ready for Tom Cable to go. So I think that'll be helpful, and they should grow throughout the season. Right now, like I said, we're looking for average. That's all we can hope for.
Hey, strive for mediocrity. I'm all about that. Yeah. let's go on the other side of the ball. Seattle, known for defense, known for the Legion of Boom. However, it's not exactly a Legion of Boom anymore, at least as we know it. Safety Earl Thomas, he finally reported, unsuccessfully held out because he wanted his contract extended. Did play Sunday, and in fact, the team played a lot better when he was in the game. So tell me a little bit about what we can expect from Earl Thomas and the secondary as a whole. Is this the second coming of the Legion of Boom, or is it just, let's strive for mediocrity?
No, they will definitely be better than mediocrity. They will be... There is no replacing the Legion of Boom. Let's just put it that way. You cannot replace. That defense was so special and so insanely good and in sync, and they could read each other's minds, and they didn't even have to look and see where each other was on the field. You don't replace that. I think that is going to be a golden age of Seattle Seahawks defense. I think it'll be up there with the Purple People Eaters and a bunch of the others. But to say that we're doing a second version of that, I think that's impossible, to just be totally honest with you. However, you're absolutely right. When Earl Thomas is on the field, the team is just better as a whole. And yes, he came back for money. He isn't even shy about it. He said he wasn't leaving that money on the table. And good for Earl. We're happy that you didn't. But I think he really embodies what the true strength of the Legion of Boom was, and that is that he is a Hall of Fame player. There's no question about it. When he is on the field, the team is better. Unfortunately for the rest of the defense, though, we had a whole bunch of rookies on the field, and that is due to KJ Wright still being hurt. And then the cornerback that we brought in, that had a little experience, he then got hurt, so we had to start our rookie Trey Flowers on, actually, I think it was the left side that he was on. So we had a whole lot of babies playing football on Sunday in the defense. And I think that they are just like normal rookies. It'll take them some time. Of course, we had the Griffin brothers on the field, which is a fantastic story, but Shaquem Griffin is still a rookie. He still was nervous. And so I think we'll see an improvement there this week after they get some of those first game nerves out. But at the same time, the defense as a whole will be so much better when KJ Wright comes back. We have to remember, the Seattle Seahawks have two of the best linebackers in the league playing on their team. And they're used to being right next to each other. So once again, Bobby Wagner can't save everyone. But when he has KJ Wright there, they can. And so I think that we'll see a huge improvement from them. Our pass rush is really what took the biggest hit, and that was by losing Michael Bennett and losing Cliff Averill. Cliff Averill to a medical retirement. Bennett, of course, is now in Philly. And so we're still trying to find that crazed pass rush again. I'm hoping, I'm keeping my fingers crossed that we find that this season.
And that kind of, you kind of answered a little bit in your last question, but Bears fans are concerned about how long Trubisky can stay upright. The offensive line is solid in Chicago. They have done a good job. But how does this Seattle front seven, linebacking and defensive line, what are their strengths, and how do you anticipate them attacking this Bears offensive line?
There, you can never discount Bobby Wagner. He will be everywhere. Bobby Wagner, in my opinion, should have been Defensive Player of the Year a couple of times now. He had the most sacks in the league. Tackles in the league. He's just an insane player. If he can start finding holes, Trubisky's going to have some problems because Bobby will come after him. But like I said in my last answer, without KJ Wright there, I really feel like Wagner feels like he has to babysit that line a little bit more. So that could be part of a distraction. Frank Clark is a fantastic pass rusher. I just think that he did not have the complete bull rush that Michael Bennett had. And so I think that that will come in time. By this game, I don't know. I can be honest with you. But I do think that they are fantastic at run blocking, but that pass rush is a little lacking for Seattle right now.
Absolutely. And before I ask you for a prediction on this game, I want to get into the juicy stuff. I want to get into the TMZ stuff. There's a Sports Illustrated story that alleges some dissension within the team because of what players, especially on the defensive side of the ball, feel was a favoritism towards Russell Wilson. What's been the reaction to this story in Seattle? I mean, are we seeing kind of a drama start to play out a little bit?
The drama's gone. Let's just put it that way. So here's the thing. I fully admit this. Anyone who follows me on Twitter or knows me knows this. I'm a huge Richard Sherman fan. He was the first jersey I ever bought. I have a bunch of signed stuff from him. I love Richard Sherman. I don't love Richard Sherman right now because I feel like what has happened is the defense were the star of the show during our Super Bowl years. They really were. And the offense wasn't. And then that shift started to happen, as it does when you have a really good quarterback. And as awkward as Russell Wilson looks sometimes when he's running around there like a crazy fool, he's a fantastic quarterback. And some of that spotlight was starting to get shifted. And I don't know that that went over well. As it was with the coaches preferred him and all that, you know what? I don't know. That could have been perception. That could have been the truth. It could have been a million different things. But what it did lead to was bad attitudes in the locker room. And I do truly believe that the real bad attitudes in the locker room, because there was a couple of them, are no longer on the team. And I think that's what needed to happen. I'm glad they did it when they did. I hope Richard Sherman has a fantastic year in San Francisco, because I really do love him as a player. But I do think that this is what Seattle had to do this season to clean out the gunk, for lack of a better word. Not that they weren't amazing players, but they had to start fresh. And that's what they did. And I think it will pay off for them. Maybe not this season, but definitely in the future.
We're talking to Dana O'Gorman, Senior Sports Director for rturffb.com. Dana, before I let you go, the Seahawks coming into Soldier Field, week two, coming off a loss. What's your prediction for this game?
Well, first of all, let me say I'm so glad that we don't have to play this game in December, because I will take a Chicago game in September anytime. That is for sure. You know, as we were talking right before we started recording, these teams are kind of a lot alike. They have a lot of question marks. They have, you know, talented quarterbacks. They have all the great pieces. Can they get them to work together? And I think of the two teams, whoever manages to get it to work is going to win. I think it'll be a close game. I think it'll be a fun game. Of course, I have to pick my Seahawks because that's what I have to do. But at the same time, I don't expect this to be a cakewalk for either team.
No, it should be a good game, very evenly matched, and I would expect nothing less than you to go ahead and pick your Seahawks. I get it. Before
Dana, John.
Yo.
Before we let Dana go, our barflies in our chat room are loving you, Dana. Oh. And they have a couple of questions for you if you have just a couple of seconds to stick around a wee bit longer.
Absolutely.
Frankie Myers is in the chat room, and he wants to know, if a team wanted to completely take the Seahawks offense out of the game, what would they have to be able to do defensively to make that happen?
You know, there was a blueprint for that last year, and it is, you know, push the pocket. You have to get Russell Wilson out of the pocket. Not that he's not used to being out the pocket, because he's been used to running for his life for a long, long time. But I think you have to throw that timing off. The Seattle offensive line, it's not too hard to do. I'm not going to lie. And so that push, I think, could really throw them off, as we've seen, because the running game hasn't gotten started yet. If they can get the running game to go, that's great. But I think that's all you have to do. You just have to push that pocket.
And Frankie Myers has one more question for you. He wants to know how much you miss Dan Quinn and how much you hate seeing that Legion of Boom in Atlanta.
I do miss Dan Quinn. You know, it was so funny that Seattle coaches kept leaving, and we would have them go to Jacksonville, and then Dan Quinn left us. And, you know, he is beloved. Dan Quinn is actually beloved in Seattle, even though he is there. But it is kind of funny to see how many of the Seattle principals, unfortunately of old for us now because things have changed up so much, but of the defensive principles that he's implemented there and how well they're working. But I it is not in me to ever wish ill against Dan Quinn. I just like him too darn much.
Thanks, Dana.
All right, Dana, before I push you out the door, tell people how they can find you online and read your stuff and listen to your stuff.
You bet. So myself and Lisa, my co-host, we host the Our Turf Football podcast. We have it comes up every Tuesday night. And you can listen to that on Spreaker, on iTunes. We always post it on Twitter. You can also find it at OurTurfFB.com, which is our website. You can read all of our stuff there. And then you can find me on Twitter, and it's at Dana O-G, D-A-Y-N-A-O-G. And I would love to chat football.
She is the OG of Seattle. Dana, thank you so much for being on. We'll talk to you down the road.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. We're at halftime. You know what that means. Going into the third quarter, we ramp things up a little bit. Bears girl, let's remind our listeners how this part of the show works.
All right. I will ask you 5 Chicago Bears related questions, and you will have all of 55 seconds to respond. Why 55? Because that's the number your uncle Doug Buffone wore during his 15 seasons with the Chicago Bears. At the end of your 55 seconds, you will hear this whistle.
Hey, we got it.
We got it this time. It's not the play school one. Awesome. At which time you can start to wind up your response. Are you ready for question 1?
I'm ready to go.
All right, we're going to go back in time and look at why the Chicago Bears are 0-1 after having a 20-0 lead on Sunday night with about 3.5 minutes to go in the third quarter. John, we expect you to take no prisoners, a go for the kill, because the clock starts now.
Well, what did I tell you last week? If you want to change the culture in the North, you have to learn how to close games out. I gave the exact scenario that happened. If the Bears are up 3 late in the game and have the ball, you can't kick a field goal. You can't give the ball back to Rodgers. I don't care if he has one leg, one arm, one eye. You don't give the ball back to Aaron Rodgers with a chance to win the game. When they kicked that field goal, I knew it was over. I don't care about the dropped pick by Fuller. I knew it was over because we gave the ball back to Green Bay. That was just a system. Systematic crumbling on offense, defense, and in coaching. You had every opportunity to show on a national stage that this is a different Bears team, and what do we get? The parabolic mic picking up Packers fans chanting, Bears still suck. This is one of the worst losses I can remember since they lost to the Packers back in the NFC Championship game in 2011, because we got built up in the first half, and then a meltdown occurred, and I had to hear Chris Collinsworth openly drool over everything the Packers were doing. This was supposed to be different, and it ripped my heart out. I have 3 big TVs in my basement set up for NFL Sundays, and I couldn't even bring myself to carry them upstairs. I'm still pissed off about this.
And he got it in under the whistle, and now I am picturing Aaron Rodgers in December with one leg, one eye, and one arm.
He would still drive down the field.
Let's move past that. Let's go to question 2. Let's flip the coin. What happened on Sunday that actually gave you some confidence in this team? What were the positives that you saw? You got 55 seconds and go.
Well, in the first half, Khalil Mack looked like a god. He nearly earned that contract right out of the gate. The defense looked fast. It looked mean. It looked focused. once again, for a half. And then they knocked Aaron Rodgers out of the game. Not to say that's a good thing, but that means that they were getting to him. I had Bear Down Chicago Bears playing so loud in my house, my neighbor's shutters were probably shaking. The offense looked new. It looked cutting edge. We saw a receiver actually go up and make a couple great catches in Allen Robinson. Both Tariq Cohen and Jordan Howard looked really good. Trubisky looked good, and some of the mistakes that he made looked correctable. I'm keeping the faith that he's going to continue to get better. He didn't play much in the preseason, and I'm not completely folding into the Mike North narrative that he needed to play all the preseason, but I will say that more playing time is going to benefit Mitch as the season goes along. So I did see a lot of positives, probably a lot more positives than I saw in week one last year, whenever Mike Glennon and John Fox were on that side of the field. So although a long pass to Austin Hooper kind of changed the mold last year, maybe it's a week one thing. Maybe we're just destined to give up a big pass that's soul crushing in week one.
Okay, let's move on to question number three. When Khalil Mack and Roquan Smith are at their best physical shape, one might say right before or after our bye week at the end of September, how ferocious do you think this team's defense will be? Are we talking 2006 Bears or, dare I ask, 85 Bears? And go.
Well, they're going to be good. That's for sure. Roquan just got in the game, and he and Mac had kind of a meeting of the minds at the quarterback. They need Roquan to get in, and they need to get him up to speed fast, because we saw time and time again that Nick Kwiatkowski can't catch a steel ball with a magnet. He is so slow out there. Once everyone is firing on all cylinders and hopefully healthy, this is going to be a scary, scary defense. The D-line itself can get a push, and then the linebackers, well, we already know what they're all about. Now, if we can just get Kyle Fuller on the jugs machine to learn how to catch a damn ball, we're going to have something cooking. There's definitely enough talent to think that this D is capable of being 2006. 1985, we don't touch that. The 85 Bears wouldn't have blown a 20-0 lead last Sunday night, regardless of conditioning or even sobriety, probably. So it might take until the end of September before that happens, but you also cross your fingers now that no one gets banged up to that point. We saw Trevathan get nicked up already. We saw Amukamara get nicked up already. Leonard Floyd's always a question mark. Just, you gotta stay healthy, because I want to see how good this defense can actually be, and I think it can be a very scary defense.
And Harp 4803 is in agreement with you. He is saying also the 06 Bears. Let's take a trip down memory lane for question number four. Let's go back to December 2nd, 2012. Russell Wilson and the Seahawks were playing the Bears at Soldier Field. Wilson almost single-handedly beat the Bears. His stat line was 23 of 37 for 293 yards, 2 touchdowns, 71 rushing yards, and 0 turnovers. That Bears defense, not a pushover either. They were leading the NFL in creating turnovers. What are the chances we'll see Russell Wilson recreate history? The clock begins when you're ready.
I think the Seahawks in general were a much better team, and I have to feel certain they had a much better line. Don't get me wrong. The 2012 Bears defense was darn good. Israel Adonijé, Henry Melton, Julius Peppers, Urlacher, and Briggs. And with all due respect to those guys, because they were all great players, I think there's a little more speed on the 2018 edition of the Bears defense. There's going to be plays where Bears fans hate Russell Wilson. He slips out of the pocket. He makes things happen like a magician. That's just who he is. But he did get sacked a bunch of times last week by the Denver Broncos, and the Bears are just as good, if not better, than the Broncos up front. So if they can contain the pocket and run Wilson down, I think they can limit the amount of damage he can do by himself. And let's be honest, the Seahawks offense isn't offering much to help him right now. The O-line is a big question mark. The receivers are depleted. The tight ends are pretty unknown. And I don't know exactly what they're going to get out of the running game, but like I said, there's no Marshawn Lynch or Sean Alexander back there. I really believe that they can limit the Seahawks. I think they let a few Wilson plays. He's going to pull some crazy stuff off. We just got to grin and bear it, for all puns intended, but they're going to get after him.
Final question before your prediction, John. Bears haven't been a good team on our primetime games lately. List for me all the things that must go right for the Bears to win on Monday Night Football. You are now on the clock.
Oh, I remember pleading with the NFL last year to take the Bears off of primetime. I live in Pennsylvania, and we don't get many Bears games on network television, so the only time my friends get to see the Bears is when they're getting smoked on primetime games. I am tired of that. Thank God they beat the Steelers the last three outings just to keep some of my friends at bay. They have to come out like some crazed dogs with the same energy they did against the Packers. You have got to be riled up, and you have to convert on third and short. Stop settling for field goals in the red zone. We need touchdowns. Yes, the defense is good, but Bears fans want an elite offense as well. Elite offenses score touchdowns. Most of all, No more lulls in play. Don't get lethargic. Don't throw away drives on offense. No parking the bus on defense. Let's see a complete game. Bears fans are still on board with this team. They still want to see them succeed. They still believe that this team can be good. It's only week two, but let's see a complete effort. Let's get on top of a team and go for the throw early. Let's get a 14-point lead on Seattle and then make it a 21-point lead. That's what I want to see. I don't think that's very difficult. I don't think that's very complex. I think it's pretty simple.
All right, John, let's get your prediction for this game on Monday night.
Oh, I like the Bears. It's their home opener. Soldier Field should be rabid. Seahawks showed their weaknesses last week. I think we see a good defensive effort, and I think we see more consistency out of the offense. We're going to see how Coach Nagy does with a week of film at his disposal, see what they did wrong, see what they did right, and maybe he learned a thing or two from that loss last week of, you know, kind of keeping the pedal down throughout the entire game. I think the Bears get back to 500. They're going to be 1-1. I think they beat Seattle 26-17, and you know how they do it? They have the ball late with a short lead, and they score a touchdown to actually put the game out of reach. That's what I see happening. They're gonna flip the narrative this week and actually put a team away. Now don't forget, this episode of Buffon 55 will be on your podcast stream first thing Thursday morning. Make sure you share it with your friends. Give us a review. Give us a good review. Don't give us a bad review. Come on. If you're listening, you like it. And make sure you check all the delivery systems on your where you can get your podcast from: iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, Atari, Snail Mail, whatever else you listen to podcasts on, you name it. All you have to do is search for Bears Barroom Radio Network, and we will pop up. Bears Girl, am I forgetting anything?
Yeah, I'm excited to announce that we have locked in guests here at Buffon 55 until mid-October, and we are continuing to get and book more talent for our sister shows, including some former Bears players and some Bears sports writers and media personalities. If you haven't figured it out, 2018 is going to be on fire here at the Barroom.
We just can't keep them away. We got people coming to us. They want to get in the bar.
They are knocking our doors. Yep.
And you know what? I can't blame them. This is a fun time. But don't forget to back here on MixLR on Friday, the Mike North Advantage. That begins at 9 a.m. Central Time. Can't make it? Then catch the podcast version. My buddy Mike brings the real stuff to you. You're not going to want to miss that one. That kind of wraps up this edition of Buffon 55. Thanks for tuning in, Jeff. Fun, Bears Girl.
I had an amazing time. What show is this for us now? 3, 4, 5, 10, 15?
You know, they all run together. They're so fast-paced. It's just one big marathon. We don't take chunks. We don't fight battles. We are in it for the long war, Bears Girl. We're in for it. And we're not even halfway through. So dig in. It's going to be a long season. I got to start getting some lozenges. I'm going to lose my voice here eventually. But that will do it for us. For Bears Girl, I'm John Buffon. Here's hoping to win a Bears victory on Monday, I should say. We'll see you next time.